It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
We're going to talk about the midweek college football games, but why do we have them? This week's MAC-tion college football game on Wednesday night featured a snowstorm as visiting Western Michigan's Broncos beat the Central Michigan Chippewas 12-10. Hey, it made for a lovely sight to behold for those of us watching on television in the warmth of our own home. An ESPN announcer even got into the act with calling a dashing through the snow as the Western Michigan running back broke loose in the snow for a long touchdown run. It was classic. The television director for the broadcast frequently featured camera shots showing a variety of snowmen in the football stadium to highlight these snowy conditions on a Wednesday night of college football. Wait a minute. Wednesday night college football? In case you didn't know, another Mid-American Conference or MAC game was played on ESPN the night before on Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday's TV lineup featured the Bowling Green Kentucky Falcons and the Toledo Rockets. In fact, the Mid-American Conference played all five of their conference football games on Tuesday, two of the games, and Wednesday, three during this week. Welcome to the midweek MAC-tion games during November on ESPN. But why? These midweek college football games have now been incorporated into the fall television schedule as part of an ingenious,
I'm all ears,
diabolical plan by the worldwide leader in marketing, ESPN. But wait, there's more. There's a Thursday night college football game tonight on ESPN, of course, featuring the American Athletic Conference teams SMU at Tulane. Then on Friday night, ESPN2 will roll out another AAC game with South Florida at Tulsa. And just a few hours later Friday night, Fox Sports FS1 will take you to the Mountain West Conference for the San Diego State versus New Mexico game to end your Friday night college football fiesta around midnight. But try to get some rest because come Saturday morning, the college football games resume with a first game kicking off at 10 a.m. Central on ESPN2. And those games will continue nonstop on a variety of networks until well past midnight on Saturday. Though I think it's safe to say the NFL currently owns Sunday and Sunday night and the Monday night football games, the advertising marketeers have now quickly moved to capture the other days of the week for college football telecast. So you just follow the money. In a nutshell, competitive football games, both college and pro, bring in viewers, especially as the temperatures start to drop in the northern states. Reliable numbers of viewers translates into golden marketing opportunities to sell products geared toward one particular segment of the American television audience. Football games are sure to deliver an audience comprised of nearly 75% males in the very valuable buying demographic of ages 25 to 49. Yeah, many younger people watch the games, and so do us OGs. But the younger male target market for advertisers is known for its propensity to spend money on new cars, home furnishings, cell phones, those insurance policies, lots of fast food, snack foods, beer, and at this time of year, expensive jewelry for that special someone. Most college football games played on Saturday afternoons and evenings will feature the major conferences, and those games reliably deliver that target audience of about 1 million to 10 million viewers every single game. These relatively new weeknight college football matchups on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday can deliver from 500,000 to 1 million of those same coveted advertising pigeons.
Bye, bye, bye!
Midweek football games feature the same products being pitched to the viewers. The network simply charges the advertisers a lower rate based on the reduced number of TV eyeballs watching those games. With an hour or more of commercials being sold on many of these football game telecasts, the television networks are doing just fine. From an advertising perspective, ESPN and any other broadcast outlets that are handling football are able to tell their potential clients that they can deliver this rather elusive demographic primarily comprised of adult males. In restaurants and bars all around the country, the TV sets are tuned to ESPN and other networks to provide the football fans with live games to watch now 7 days per week for 4 months from September through December. As we've covered here, and I'm sure again later, that is why you're going to see a seemingly never-ending parade of mostly meaningless college football bowl games for the last 3 weeks of December and into the first week of January. As the weather continues to chill and you find yourself stuck inside or visiting over at Grandma's house during the holidays, you can still get your fix of college football on television. These college football bowl games you're going to watch still deliver advertisers with about 1 million television fans per game, regardless of how lousy the matchups are. And did you know that ESPN also owns a growing number of these college football bowl games? Many of the local bowls just simply can't afford the payouts they need on their own, so they need the financial partnership of, yeah, you guessed it, ESPN, which gladly pays a little of that extra money in order to have a nightly advertising vehicle for their holiday sponsors.
Sell, sell, sell!
Meanwhile, ESPN's virtual monopoly on the non-Saturday college football games is continuing. So what about the student athletes in these midweek college games? The college football players can make an adjustment from playing on Saturdays to another day in the week, as long as there is a minimum of 1 week for them to prepare physically. I'm not sure how I would feel as an athlete knowing that A, my team is playing on national television, but B, most of the rest of the country's best football teams are playing on Saturdays. It probably feels a lot like when they were back in junior varsity playing an early week game during high school. And what about the fans in all of this mess? The biggest loser to these midweek football games are the traveling fans. Saturday football games allow for travel to and from the game sites without having to use one or more of your vacation days. The student body may actually like the idea of playing a weekday home football game. That'll leave their weekend open for other plans. I doubt that the change in game day makes very much difference to most of the college students. In the MAC conference, the home attendance is already the lowest in major college football, with an average of less than 20,000 fans per game. Well, how do the schools feel about playing these midweek games? By selling out to these television networks which cover the conference football games, the kickoff times and now even the game days are being changed by the networks with as little as 1 week of notice. The previous MAC television deal with ESPN's family of networks was negotiated way back in 2014, but it continues through the 2026 football season. It called for each conference school to receive about $670,000 per year from ESPN for the rights to broadcast the games. Now, at the time, $670,000 per year sounded like a dandy number, but today, it's an outright bargain for ESPN. During the month of November, the Mid-American Conference football teams are featured on Tuesday and Wednesday night games. These MACtion games have become a bit of a novelty to the conference's fans and the teams. For ESPN, the sales team gets a chance to load up on additional lucrative November holiday advertising spending by reaching even more viewers prior to Thanksgiving and the annual Black Friday holiday shopping day. Hey, who do you think is getting the last laugh here? But if you can't beat them, well, last week, Conference USA just signed a new television deal with CBS Sports Network and ESPN. Their new television deal calls for Conference USA football games to be played on, you guessed it, Tuesday and Wednesday nights in October, beginning next season in 2023. The league's commissioner, Judy McLeod, wanted the league to receive more television exposure. She said, quote, "Obviously revenue is important, but what kept coming up with our membership was exposure. How do we maximize our potential and move forward? Well, this is our chance to prove ourselves, and then hopefully we'll go back to the market in a few years and increase our value." Right. Conference USA features teams from mostly medium-sized television markets spread across several states. Several former members like Marshall University, Old Dominion, and Southern Miss have recently jumped to the Sun Belt Conference this year in 2022, primarily due to Conference USA's weak television deals. I don't think that playing October midweek football games on a relatively small television platform like the CBS Sports Network is going to accomplish those goals of Conference USA's commissioner. And in summary, like it or not, college football has officially sold out for television. Each conference has media deals which provide additional revenue for each member school. This also helps to not only support the football team, but other sports on campus which are likely operating at an annual loss. And yeah, that can be a good thing. However, if you purchased a football ticket back in August to attend a football game in person this season, you may find that your game has been moved from a nighttime kickoff to, let's say, 11 a.m. That's a big difference. Or in the case of some of the small conferences like the MAC or Conference USA, your football game is subject to being moved back to a Tuesday or Wednesday night. While the college football players and their in-stadium fans do have to deal with this scrambled schedule, the national television networks are now pulling all the strings and laughing all the way to the bank. I'm Swamp Swami. Come back and see us. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. There's no exception to the rule.